Hi, everyone, and welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me here today. Today's episode is going to be on finding your life purpose. I wanted to talk about this today because I have, I would say, recently come into contact with a number of people who are asking for help finding their purpose. And, you know, it's almost becoming kind of trendy in a way to identify this one thing that you came here to do. But my goal today is really to show you that it's not really just this one thing that we've all kind of, I guess, fantasized as, you know, coming to this planet to do. Like, for example, we look at artists, we look at writers, we look at musicians, and we know clearly, okay, that person came here to do that. You know, clearly, thank God that they worked for it because we wouldn't have this amazing music today, etc. But truthfully, behind the curtain, there's more to it than just becoming the big musician, right? That sense of great achievement. So there's more to learning about and exploring, you know, why you're here to a certain extent and what you really came here to do. And that's something that I wanted to talk about today. So just at the outset, in order to try to find some clarity on your quote-unquote life purpose, as I said before, many people feel very lost. However, I don't know if I would like to really use the word lost. I would say very dissatisfied with the current status of their life. You know, there's kind of maybe been a bit of coasting or a sense of complacency with life. However, if you've been asking yourself this question for some time, then there's something within your inner being. It's like your intuition. This radar is going off and you're starting to really question, you know, why am I here? Is this really all there is to this? Did I just come here to work my 9 to 5 and pay my bills and take care of the kids and then hit the grave? You know, because we all kind of get into that rhythm of, you know, life. And it isn't usually until much later that we actually do some reflection and maybe are a little bit disappointed with where we are today. Maybe there were things we thought we were going to achieve or we kept putting off saying, okay, you know, I have time to do that later. But maybe we're at that later point and we're just very unhappy about it. So I would say that many of us really struggle when we're looking for our life purpose, because we try to find that one thing that we're meant to do. But trying to find only one thing is the reason why we feel like something is missing. The notion that we have only one thing we are meant for limits us from fulfilling our greatness. Many of us actually have very different titles in life or job titles. For example, just speaking for myself, I'm a teacher, I'm an author, I'm a speaker, I'm a mentor, etc. And all of these things really bring me joy, right? But people might not say, well, that's not your life purpose, but they are my passions. And I think that that's the starting place for identifying your actual quote unquote purpose for being here. I would say the first step is identifying what energizes you, what fuels you. What are your actual passions? Now, I have met many people who tell me, well, I don't have a passion. There's nothing that I like to do. I'm bored. So I always tell everyone, I want you to go back to childhood. Drop into your mind for a little bit. Take yourself back to when you were a kid. What did you naturally gravitate towards? There's always usually one little thing that we kind of have loved as a kid and that we did often. So for example, for myself, when I was younger, I used to sit in my room and I used to write stories all day. I did this every day and I loved it. I would do murder mysteries, romance stories. I did all kinds of, you know, I created all kinds of stories and that's what I loved. However, if you're like me, let's say for example, maybe you wrote stories as a kid, maybe you painted as a kid, maybe you like to build with Legos as a kid, but as you get older, the world beats you down. there are more naysayers than supporters on this planet. So the chances of you being surrounded by people who are going to encourage what it is you love to do, encourage those passions, they're very slim. So you're going to have more people tell you to get a reality check. You know, you have to pay the bills, therefore you need a 9-to-5, and those little hobbies maybe you could do later. And life is about balance. So I mean, I'm not saying, you know, I don't want there to be an implication here that, oh, you need to quit your day job and then, you know, fulfill all your time with your hobbies, because we do live on planet Earth, and we have to really balance paying the bills, taking care of your kids, cleaning the house, running errands, you know, going to the post office, making dinner, etc. However, if you have that kind of balance already in your life and you have some time, and I know most people will think, well, I don't have time. We do have time. It's just rearranging things in your life to find the right time. Sit down and think about what those passions were. What did you love to do? What excited you? What did you used to do when you were a kid that you could actually spend hours upon hours and not even realize that that's how long it had been? And that's moving from being in your head and dropping really into your heart, because there's some sort of love associated with what it was that you're doing. And if you remember, you know, anything that you do with love behind it, it blossoms. It helps more than one person, right? It's for the purpose of the world then, right? All of our hearts are connected to one. So go back, if you have time and you've been asking yourself some of these questions lately, I want you to kind of go back and think about, you know, some of your passions and pick one to reflect on, or not just to reflect on, but to begin to kind of take up again as a very small hobby and incorporate it into your life. That's always like a very great starting point. And that's what I think I have kind of done in my life is, you know, as I went through college, I took creative writing classes, but then it's ultra competitive and everybody wants to tear you down instead of support you. And it just, you know, their tear down method was ultra effective. So it wasn't until 10 years, you know, 15 years later that I was like, you know, I still love this. I'm going to give it a shot. And I think once you rise to the occasion, once you kind of overcome the fear of that failure, because we all have it, because the world is going to tell you, you're going to fail. Once you kind of let it go and do something for yourself, you're going to actually going to be surprised with some of the, you know, successes you have just for yourself, not for proving anything to the world, but just to see what your love can actually create. So get in touch with your passions. And remember this, when you lead a passionate life, you are living your life on purpose. And that's the point, is that there's not just one thing that you came here to do. Do you think that we would be created so small in thought and in action? Look at some of the people out in the world today who have like three crazy, you know, talents within themselves, singers, musicians, writers, etc., painters. You know, there's more than just one. And these are your passions, but once you are working within the realm of the passionate, then you're really living your life on purpose. So my advice is to kind of let go of thinking there is only one purpose for you and embrace the idea that our purpose in life is to love life fully by putting ourselves into our life. This means we jump in and we try new things. We stop resisting the unknown and we fully engage in what is happening right here where we are. To lead a purposeful life, follow your passions. When we live a passion-filled life, we're living on purpose. And really, honestly, that is the purpose of your life. That feeling that something is missing will go away when you lead a passion-filled life. And the need to seek our purpose comes from a lack of passion. When you don't feel connected to your life, you lack purpose and you lack passion. So to fix this quote-unquote emptiness, simply just add more passion. So to boil it down, remember to act on your passions, which means this requires daily, if not weekly, action with your passion. And this kind of equates to having a more purposeful life. So it might behoove you to kind of redefine this whole idea of life purpose, because there's this huge association with massive achievement and purpose. That's not necessarily the case. When we think of somebody like Mother Teresa, and she lived her life on passion. Her passion was to help other people, to feed impoverished children, to help impoverished people. That was a purposeful life. I don't know that, you know, she woke up one day and said, "Oh, I figured it out. Thank you, God, for telling me I must go feed, you know, hungry people." You know, she dropped into her heart. She saw what was happening around her, and she took action. She didn't necessarily sit around just waiting for God to drop an idea into her head. Now, I'm not saying that that doesn't happen. It does happen. However, your action is really required. I'm not saying to act every day, but if you want to live a life that feels like there's an actual purpose for you, take action. And let's say you don't have the clarity, because not everybody had a great childhood, and I totally understand. So maybe there wasn't one thing that stood out to you. This is where you kind of jump into more of an experimental phase. So this means try something new. Take the risk. Risk is so important in this life. We're not going to always land on our feet when we take the risks, but it is so important that we do this. So for example, if you've been interested maybe in getting dance lessons, go take dance lessons. You might not be, you know, a superstar, but take dance lessons. You know, start something new. If you've been interested in taking, I don't know, tennis lessons or learning how to play an instrument or play a sport, then take that risk, because the more risk that you take and the more experiments you do, you'll actually, believe it or not, get more clarity on what you love and what you don't love, and what you love is aligned with your passion. So always remember to drop from your head into your heart. Your heart is always going to be the best tool to access your true purpose. So to hit it home again, follow your passions. You know, when thinking about life in general and thinking about what we came here to do, I think it's usually helpful when you feel like your life has been very stale and boring and monotonous to kind of think about your death. And this is a topic I didn't think I was going to broach today. However, I have done this for myself. I have kind of sat down and looked at my life because certain things didn't go according to my plan. And I think we can all identify with that. Something happens unexpectedly and it changes everything. And you can't fix it. You can't go back to who you were or what you had. So you have no choice but to either, you know, sit and cry or to keep moving forward, right? But I think that when big change is forced upon you and you feel a little bit lost, you feel like something's missing, you feel just very ungrounded and super confused, I think when you're trying to find direction coming off of that, it might be helpful to think about your death. And I know this is a morbid topic, but actually it's kind of insightful. When you think about, well, when I pass, what did I leave behind? That question in itself will help you get serious clarity on your purpose here. It's a very powerful question to yourself. I've thought about this myself. Like, what did I leave behind? None of the material things matter. They're not true treasures at all. What did you do? How did you help? Those are very deep questions. And I know that right now in the world today, especially in America, but I imagine other places too, there is more of a focus on the self as opposed to the community. And I think there's kind of been a shift in that way. And I think it's more of like a generational shift. However, I think it's important to sit down with yourself, with your heart, and ask yourself, well, what's my legacy? You know, what do I want my legacy to be? And I don't mean, again, in terms of material success, some sort of material achievement. That's not what I'm trying to allude to here. Ask yourself, what is your story going to be? Is it going to be a horror story? a love and loss story? Is it a story of empowerment? Is it a story of perseverance? Etc. I want you to really think about that. And this is a question I have asked myself repeatedly, looking at my life. How did I help? What am I going to leave behind? If I had to read your story in a book, what is the story going to look like? Is it going to be very monotonous that, okay, well, this character binge watched like 20 shows, you know, throughout her life and then died, for example? Now, I know while I'm saying that, there is a strong tinge of judgment behind that, but I'm only saying that to give you, again, some sort of perspective, because only you can answer these questions for yourself. Now, I'm sure some of you are thinking, well, I just don't have the money to follow my passions. I understand that. Trust me, when you feel like you just don't have the resources. However, the one thing I'm going to encourage you to do is to sit down with your guide and your angels and say, look, my life is, you know, I have a lot on my plate. I have kids to take care of. I have a job. I'm going to school, etc. However, what I really want to do is kind of take up this hobby and work with this for a little bit. I love it. And I want to figure out a way to get the resources to do it. If you have that conversation with your guide and have this conversation with your higher self and the angels and your team, whoever they are, ask them to help you find the resources. Honestly, do this. Ask them to show you in a dream. Ask them to show you in meditation. Ask them to show you in symbols and signs while you're driving. Trust me, if you ask them that way, let's say you're on the road a lot in traffic, then working with your guides and angels that way is one of the best ways to get messages, either through numbers, or you can actually get it through billboards or on trucks. So you can say, please give me, you know, messages such as like a word, a name, etc. on billboards, trucks, benches, buses, or what have you. This is actually one way I work with my guide, and it's amazing. And the way it's kind of evolved has been really cool. He's always on top of it. But if you feel like you are in a state of lack and you don't have the money to pursue some of your passions, I am telling you, ask for assistance, because the universe is invested in your own self-growth. They want you to grow, and the way you grow is really through love, taking risks, and through creation. This brings me to another point. You know, we all have certain skills, and that skill set will help us in life, and it helps us to help others. However, just to give you a tiny story, I was doing a reading for my mom, of all people, about 5 years ago, and she had asked me to ask, I believe it was the archangels, what her purpose was, right? And of course, like everyone else, she assumed there was one thing that she came here to do, but I'll never forget this conversation I had, because I think the angels were like, please stop asking us this question. And I heard them, they were like yelling at me, but not in a negative way, but they were like, Deanna, her purpose, like everyone else on this planet, is to create, create, create. And they said it so loud in the room. It's like, okay, I got it, dude. I got it. That's actually what we all came here to do. I'm not saying there aren't lessons or there's not like a plan, a blueprint. There is. However, we all came here to create from our hearts and our minds and our souls combined. Think about this for a minute. What did you come here to create? Now, this could be a physical manifestation, for example, a piece of art or art in general. It could be a book. It could be, you know, architecture, ceramics, etc. You know, I think that that is also a manifestation of the soul. However, some of us came here to create peace. Some of us came here to help give others more faith. Some of us came here to generate more love. I think we actually all have come here to really do that. But think about that. When we feel like we haven't really achieved anything, I want you to do one thing. I want you to sit down and take inventory of the people in your life that you've come across And then I want you to see the trend in the things that they have consistently thanked you for. Think about that. So let's say you've had like 30 people in your life who've constantly thanked you for helping them with, helping them write their papers, right? Helping them read, helping them educationally. So think about what that does. It changes the world because what you do always has a ripple effect in the world. So then if you look at that, it's like, oh, well, I came here to help create, you know, knowledge for people, to help support people educationally, to teach. There is going to be some sort of common theme underlying everything. There is a trend, and you will see that if you have an honest look at your life. Notice what people have often thanked you for. But don't forget that our biggest purpose here is to create. And don't equate the worth of your purpose with how the world assesses, you know, what you've created. Don't equate those together, because if you do, you'll feel like you haven't achieved anything. But yet, just to give kindness to people who are in pain and just people in general, that changes the vibration of that area. It changes the vibration of the other person. You have absolutely no idea what the other person was thinking, feeling, you know, during the day. A smile, kind words, a compliment, something like that changes the frequency of someone internally. And it may change their thinking about someone. You have no idea the power of your actions and the power of your kindness. So again, notice what people really often thank you for. So another way to kind of find your passion is to really turn some of the pain you've experienced in your life into healing for other people. This is super important. And sometimes I feel like this is on purpose from above. I feel like we go through certain things in life. Sometimes, you know, they're more harsher than other people, because in order for us to complete the task that we set out to complete, in order for us to be able to have an understanding of that task and to help other people with that task, we must go through it ourselves, because there is no such thing as having real knowledge unless you have real experience. So think about that. Turning all of your hurts into healing for other people. So for example, if you know you were in a domestic abuse relationship, overcoming that relationship and helping other women out of that, that's very empowering, and it's a very powerful thing to do. That is definitely having a major purpose in life. So think about some of the very deep, painful lessons that you've had in this life, and see how you can turn those into good to help other people. And you have to remember, the bigger picture here is that we're not just here for ourselves. We're here for everybody else. Yes, there are lessons that we've built into our blueprint for us to learn on an individual level. However, the point is to learn from your pain, to turn it into power. And the way it becomes power is when you utilize it to help and uplift other people. This is super important. This journey is not a solo journey. I don't know if it's in the Bible where it says you enter heaven two by two, which means you take someone with you. Meaning, and it's not like an actual, It's not a literal interpretation. It means that what you do here affects other people. Either you utilize your inner power, your inner knowledge to help others, or you utilize it to destroy others. You take that with you back home. It's super, super important. So I'm going to tell you guys a little story of something I did this past week. So it was recently my birthday and I got a reading. And this story is relevant, I promise. And the person who read me, I know very well. And it's kind of funny when I get readings from this individual, you know, she'll access my guide, and my guide is very elusive. I think he's teaching me, I've been learning a lesson for a while of how to listen to my own intuition as opposed to listening to him. So he's very quiet and mum on a lot of things. He'll usually just ask me a question in return, which I don't like. So I actually asked the reader's guide, who I know and have had the luxury of talking to answer some of my questions. And he's got a great sense of humor. And of course, one of the reasons amongst the one I, you know, stated earlier that I actually am doing this today is because before I could even get the question out, her guide was like, "Oh God, not this again. You want to know your purpose." And I laughed because we waver. You know, it's like we have this internal compass that keeps us on the right path. However, since we're in life, there's so much competition, and I hate that. I like more collaboration than competition, and you feel so small when you see other people rise. And I hate to say that out loud, but I'm human. So of course I have that thought from time to time. And I think we all do, because success is measured here on, you know, wealth, etc. Like, stupid. But this guy told me, you know, that, you know, there are many things that you came here to do. It's not just one. And I think you know what the main one is, however, and your experiences and a lot of your failures in life have taught you how to become very skilled at this, and is still teaching you forward. But he, you know, and he reminded me, he's like, you know, if you actually do follow your passions, you're going to be successful in your own mind. It's not necessarily, again, the materialization of wealth. That doesn't equate to success, you know, at least in the other world. And he said, you know, if you listen to the people in your circle who are negative, those who would rather see you fall than rise, if you let all of their emotions infiltrate, you know, your desires, your passions, then you're going to stay small and you're not going to rise to who you know you're supposed to be and what you can become. And if you forego some of your passions in this life, when you cross over, and this is all of him, okay, I'm pretty much stating here, he said that, you know, there's no such thing as real failure when you cross over. I mean, I should say there's a major caveat here. Obviously, you know, mass murderers, serial killers, etc. It's a different story. However, he's saying, but the problem is when you cross over and you're starting to do kind of your review, you will feel such a profound sense of disappointment. And to me, that's one of the worst things that I could feel. But I'm speaking just for myself. Disappointment for me is hard, especially because I work so hard and I have in this life. And he said, but, you know, don't allow the world to keep you down. And he said, never, ever, ever, whatever you do, don't give up if you just believe. And this is what I'm trying to really say to you. You know, we have a lot of desires, and that's the fire of the heart. And I feel like that's fire from God. And I personally feel as if we're supposed to use that fire to create. And again, whether it's being a counselor to hear other people and help other people, whether it's uplifting other people, uplifting women, whether it's, again, turning your pain to empower women, teaching them and providing them life skills, if you will. Whatever that is, it benefits the collective. And not only does it benefit the collective of the world, it benefits Mother Earth and her energetic vibration. And that's so important for us to remember, because this planet is living and it has an internal heartbeat. And the planet is evolving. You know, I didn't want to bring this up until next week. I'm doing, I feel like you guys hopefully will really like next week's episode with a friend of mine on this book that we read. But one point I did want to bring in to today's podcast was the fact that this individual in this book pretty much said, you know, the Earth's energy is just so dark and so dense. And really think about that, especially when you are trying to follow your heart, because following your heart is following a higher vibration, a